How would you like to attend a conference and hear Paul Meyer, Molly Ziegler-Hemingway, David Menton, Chris Rosebrough, Jonathan Fisk, and Will Wheaton? You're invited to the 2015 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 19th and 20th in Collinsville, Illinois. Registration is $100 per person. For more information, visit issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 19th and 20th in Collinsville, Illinois. issuesetc.org.
Are you positive that this is the family tomb of Jesus?
There's no question in my mind that all the evidence, archaeological, epigraphal, statistical, and now chemical, tells the same story. This is the tomb of Jesus of Nazareth and his family.
The evidence virtually could not be stronger, more powerful than what I have.
No faith required. You believe it. You know it's true.
Faith only comes into it if you want to believe that it's not.
That's Katie Turr of NBC with filmmaker Simcha Jakubovici and geologist Arya Shimron. Now, these two men claim that they have incontrovertible evidence that they have discovered the family tomb of Jesus and that Jesus' family, including himself, his wife, and his son, are buried there or were buried there at one time. Their argument has to do with the chemical composition of the soil in and around that tomb and something we've discussed here on Issues Etc. many times before, the first century practice of the Jews to bury their dead in bone boxes, in ossuaries. It brings together an old story and their new claims about this tomb of Jesus' family. We're going to be talking with Dr. Ben Witherington for the first few minutes of the program on this Thursday afternoon, getting his assessment of their evidence and of their claims. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live this Thursday afternoon, April the 9th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. After our conversation with Dr. Witherington, Terry Mattingly will join us of GetReligion.org. We're going to talk about media coverage of Indiana's Religious Freedom Restoration Act. It's been pretty lopsided. The big question is, why is it so lopsided? Why does the media simply report one side of the claims, but namely the opposition to Indiana's RFRA law? We'll continue the conversation on religious liberty with Dr. Russell Moore, president of the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission of the Southern Baptist Convention. After that conversation, then we'll round everything off. Looking forward to Sunday morning with Pastor David Peterson. According to the historic lectionary, we will be into the appearance of Jesus in John 20. That is an appearance to the 10 disciples and then to the other one that's left, good old Thomas. That's the last half hour of Issues Etc. Our call-in number for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Send us an email right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc. Our beloved on-demand listeners, whenever, wherever you listen, feel free to join the conversation with questions or comments on the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382, 618-223-8382. Joining us to discuss the alleged discovery of the family tomb of Jesus, Dr. Ben Witherington. He's a regular guest, professor of New Testament for doctoral studies at Asbury Theological Seminary, author of numerous books, including What Have They Done with Jesus? Dr. Witherington, welcome back.
Good to be with you.
What is the claim being made by this geologist with regard to the tomb, a previously discovered ossuary that is claimed to have some connection to Jesus or to his family? What's his claimed evidence that he's found the family tomb of Jesus?
Well, it's a sort of two-step claim. The claim has to do, in particular, with the James ossuary, the ossuary with the inscription that says, James, son of Joseph, brother of Jesus. And we've talked about that before. I agree with the vast majority of scholars that this is an authentic inscription, and it probably refers to the burial box of James the Just, the brother of Jesus. The new thing is that Dr. Shimron has done some tests on the effect of seepage of mud, Renzina soil, into the cracks in the James ossuary and other ossuaries in Talpiot Tomb A, as well as they tested some about 15 other ossuaries as well. And the argument is simply this, that there is such a thing as a chemical fingerprint, a certain combination of elements like cadmium and nickel and those kinds of things, which there's sort of like a recipe. You have certain percentages of each one of those. And if you can find two objects that have almost exactly or exactly the same chemical composition of soil residue on them or in them, well, then it's very highly likely they came from the same place. That's the argument. Now, that argument is the step A of what the geologist is claiming. Step B is to say, then, aha, the James ossuary, which is widely agreed to be about James, the brother of Jesus, was surely in Talpiot Tomb A at some point, along with these other ossuaries, like the one that says Judah, son of Jesus, and Mariamne, and some of these, Mattathias, and some of these other names. Therefore, this must be the Jesus family tomb. Okay, so it's really a two-step argument, and there are numerous problems with this. The first big problem is this is not how you run a railroad. When you do technical chemical testing of something like this, and I'm not disputing Dr. Shimron's credentials, when you do that, as a scholar, what you do is you publish your results, not in the media and not on Easter Sunday or thereabouts, and you don't go on Katie Couric and make this announcement. You publish it in a scientific journal. You let your peers review the evidence and test the evidence and critique the evidence. And once the peer review has gone through, then maybe you will have a press conference and say, we find it highly likely that the James ossuary was in Talpiot Tomb A for these reasons, and that therefore it is also likely that this is the burial tomb of the family of Jesus. So, first of all, there's a big procedural issue here. This is not how you do scholarly work. That's point number one. Point number two is I do not, and I have not seen any smoking gun evidence or compelling evidence, that there is such a thing as a chemical fingerprint. Now, Dr. Shimron himself said, well, you know, there was an earthquake, there was subsidence of this resinous soil in East Jerusalem. Okay, East Jerusalem is much bigger than the Talpiot Tomb. And there are other tombs, in fact, right across the street from Talpiot Tomb A, okay? So even on the showing of this evidence, the James ossuary could have come from one of any number of tombs in the area that has the same so-called chemical fingerprint results of the residue on these ossuaries. So that's point number two. But point number three is, those people who excavated this tomb in the first place, which would be Amos Kloner and his team, which includes Professor Gibson, who was then a very young scholar, and now he teaches at UNC Charlotte. The truth of the matter is that the scholars who originally did the work, like Gibson, say, no, the James ossuary was not, is not, has not been in this tomb in the first place. And so this chemical, there must be something wrong with this chemical fingerprint theory. I don't know of any compelling reason to think that there is such a thing as a chemical fingerprint at all. The soil in and around Jerusalem is pretty much limestone soil. That's the rock basis of the area, and I don't see why there couldn't be several regions around Jerusalem that were affected by this earthquake in this way and produced that kind of soil subsidence. I don't see any reason that couldn't be true.
So in effect, just to kind of summarize their argument up to this point, they're saying we have a relatively reliable kind of a scholarly consensus on this ossuary, the James box, that connects it to Jesus. That is, it's likely James the Just, whose bones at one time lay in this ossuary. Don't have the bones, but and then they're saying, and we can prove provenance on this thing, because that's the big problem with the James bone box, isn't it? Was it ever discovered in situ?
No, it was bought in an antiquity shop. And see, this is the other problem with this whole theory. The Talpiot Tomb A was excavated in 1980, but Oded Golan already had this ossuary in his possession in 1976.
Well, it's kind of hard to figure that one out.
It didn't come out of this tomb, right? It didn't go out of this tomb and into an antiquity shop in 1980. He had it before that, and when there was the trial of Oded Golan for 10 years with lots of eyewitnesses, he produced the photographic evidence. And here's the real smoking gun. The Israeli judge who went through these 10 years' worth of trial and hundreds of thousands of pages of evidence and hundreds of witnesses returned the James ossuary to Oded Golan, and if he had believed that ossuary had been obtained after 1978 when the Israeli law changed, he would have turned it back over to the state or to the IAA. He didn't do that because he was completely convinced that Oded Golan did indeed own this ossuary in 1976 before the law about antiquities changed in 1978. So there's all kinds of things rotten in Denmark with this whole theory. There are real problems with this whole argument, and it's not an accident that Professor Gibson, who was in on the excavation of that tomb in the first place, says the James ossuary was never in that tomb, not ever. If you actually look at the Christian evidence, James, according to Eusebius, who was quoting Hegesippus, was buried within sight of the Temple Mount. This tomb is not within sight of the Temple Mount. It's 4 miles away. That's point number one. Point number two, what Eusebius says is in his own day, that is in about 325 and later AD, you can still see his stele, that is the stele of James the Just, which Christian pilgrims are coming to visit in Jerusalem, and it's within sight of an easy walking distance of the Temple Mount, right? That place, is it somewhere in the city of David and somewhere near modern-day Silwan. Now, according to Oded Golan, that when he bought this from the antiquities dealer in 1976, the antiquities dealer said it came from Silwan, not Talpiot, Silwan. Well, that is the location that the historic evidence says that James was buried. He was buried, and there was a monument to his burial that was visited by Christians in the 4th century, already in the 4th century A.D. So these stories do not add up in regard to placing this in the Talpiot tomb.
Dr. Ben Witherington is our guest. We'll take a break in a few more minutes with him on the other side of the break, discussing the alleged discovery of the family tomb of Jesus. There's another argument I'd like his response to. It's kind of the Beatles argument. If you found the names of all four Beatles on a headstone, you could be pretty sure you're talking about the Fab Four. And that's the argument they're making for this Talpiot tomb. You find other family names in and associated with Jesus, so it must be his family tomb. We'll get his response after this.
Throughout the 50 days of Easter, sacred music for the world. LutheranPublicRadio.org. Listen 24/7 to sacred music for the Easter season. LPR, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
I'm not a Christian, but I listen to your show because actually you do have some interesting topics.
Here's a recent comment from the Issues Etc. comment line.
Do you believe that there's not one error in the Bible. That's intellectually infantile. You also believe that Jesus is coming again. You promote extremely sexually repressive views.
The Issues Etc. comment line, available 24/7, 618-223-8382.
Have fun waiting for Jesus to return. Got news for you. He ain't coming back.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Some people say that you should never link biblical as an adjective for archaeology because that biases your search. No, it doesn't.
Dr. Paul Meyer talking about his presentation at this summer's Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
This is simply limiting the purview of your archaeological interest, and that is, in the case of, well, biblical documents, have a wonderful field for archaeological research because more archaeology is taking place in Israel, I think, than anywhere else on earth. Let me tell you about some of the tremendous finds that have been made, all of which confirm the biblical record.
You can meet and hear Dr. Paul Meyer making the case for biblical archaeology Friday, June 19th and Saturday, June 20th at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference in Collinsville, Illinois. For more information, visit issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385. Attendance is limited to 400. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference in Collinsville, Illinois. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about the alleged discovery of the family tomb of Jesus with Dr. Ben Witherington. You will find a link to his website and his blog at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Dr. Witherington, another argument being made by the geologist in this case is that, look, if you went to a tomb in Liverpool, England, and you found a headstone with John Paul, Ringo, even three of the Beatles, you could be pretty sure that you found the final resting place of the Beatles and not just some random four guys with the same name. And so he's kind of trying to bolster his argument by saying, look, the other names associated with the Talpiot tomb are familiars of Jesus. They have to be, and the coincidence is just not a coincidence. How do you respond?
Well, okay. Several things I would say about that. The first thing to be said is that these are extremely common names. I mean, you know, the name Yeshua, Joshua, and the name Miriam, Mary, and the name Joseph are three of the most common names of that whole era. And Yaakov, which is Jacob, which is unfortunately translated into English as James, when it really should be Jacob. These are extremely common names coming right out of the Old Testament, and the Pentateuch in particular. They're very common names. You know, I was helping a man who was doing a radio show in London not long ago, and they were having an argument with Muslims. And they were taking this evidence as proof that, you know, Jesus died and was buried and his bones have now been found and we know where he's buried and yada, 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 right? And the comeback to that was, well, suppose I found a graveyard in Jerusalem that had the names Muhammad and Abdullah and Fatma all in the same graveyard, you know, Muhammad, his brother, and his mother. Would we jump to the conclusion that this must be the burial spot of those three people? Well, the answer is no, because these are exceedingly common names, especially after the Muslim era began. And similarly, these are exceedingly common names after the Christian era has begun. It's not impossible that this Talpiot tomb A is a burial spot for late 1st or 2nd century Christians who were named after their eponymous heroes, of course. Of course, that argument doesn't seem to have crossed the minds of the Talpiot tomb folks. It hasn't occurred to them that there are all kinds of people named Jesus, Mary, and Joseph ever since in Christian history. The one name that we don't name, right? So, it seems clear to me that, you know, there are a lot of ifs, ands, and buts in regard to this story. And I would also say that Richard Baucom's detailed study of the names in the Talpiot tomb is very clear in showing, A, that the names are common, and that the names that are singular in that tomb are not names associated with Jesus' family. And why in the world, if Jesus is from Nazareth and born in Bethlehem, but from Nazareth, his family lives in Nazareth, why would his family have a tomb in Jerusalem? Why would he have to be buried in Joseph of Arimathea's tomb in the first place if they had a family tomb in Jerusalem? It makes no historical sense.
Finally, then, it sounds to me, with only about a minute here, it sounds to me as though the strongest argument against this is simply the fact that the men who excavated this tomb at first can testify, still live and can testify, that they did not find that box in there, the bone box there. As authentic as it may be with respect to James, they didn't find it there.
Well, that's correct. That's certainly one of the strongest arguments. And the other evidence is that the evidence we do have about the box and its origins, both from Oded Golan and from church history, from the church historian Eusebius, suggests that it was located elsewhere.
Dr. Ben Witherington is professor of New Testament for doctoral studies at Asbury Theological Seminary. He's author of numerous books, including What Have They Done with Jesus? Dr. Witherington, it's always a pleasure speaking with you. Thank you very much for your time.
You are so welcome, Todd. Happy Easter.